Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Put your hands together for Jesus as you take your seats in the house of God. Hallelujah. I pray that you will not be distraction. Be distractors. And lift up your right hand and say, Lord, deliver me from destruction. Let me hear you clearly. Hallelujah. What are distractions? Distractions are the things that causes us to not focus. We were headed somewhere, then we got deviated because we got distracted. Hallelujah. We all start the year with great goals, isn't it? We all start the year with great resolutions, isn't it? We all start the year with great ambitions, isn't it? Great things that we set out to do. And you know, it's such a beautiful thing, and it's such a wonderful thing when you can see the results, positive results of all the things you started the year to achieve. Hallelujah. It's encouraging to see that, oh my God, these things are coming to pass. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's such an encouragement to see that I'm doing more than I used to. I got more than I asked to get. Hallelujah. So results are encouraging because they are a proof that we are doing something right. They are the evidence that we are on the right track. Hallelujah. They are the evidence. Amen. But there's nothing that discourages than not getting good results. And can I tell you, one thing that can hinder us from getting good results is distraction. You see, Jesus is wise. Jesus is wise. And sometimes we can think that we can undermine his wisdom. Hallelujah. We can undermine, we can say, just that thing. Is a thing that's going to help my life? Meanwhile, it's a thing that will help your life. When he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. Because most of us don't reach our destination because evil is on the way. Most of us don't get to where we are supposed to get because evil is on the way. I'm so blessed to see the presence of Amalindi today. Ah, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I love you so much, Mama. I'm praying you will rise again by His grace. We are praying. We are praying. Just because I was praying on Friday that just because you don't see us there, don't ever doubt that we are praying. And don't ever doubt that God will do it. He's the man of His word. He's the man of His word. I'm so encouraged by your presence this morning. Celebrate her, church. Hallelujah. Amen. I carry you in my heart all the time. Amen. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, for your victory and your conquest. Yes, so encouraged. I love you so much, Mama. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, so destruction is on the way. Jesus is away. The thing that we are taking for granted, when he says, and when you pray, when he says, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from destruction. Because destruction is one thing that will steal you from purpose. That will cause us to turn from where he wanted us to be. That will steal our destiny. Destruction. And destruction can be a cell phone. Destruction can be friends. Destructions can be a job. Destructions can be a marriage. Destruction can be children. Hallelujah. So I pray that God will give us the grace to remember to pray, deliver me from destruction. Deliver me from that thing that will cause me to not hear your word. Hallelujah. Deliver me from destruction. Let me hear you pray that prayer. Say, Lord, deliver me from destruction. Hallelujah. The appropriate response to adversity is not discouragement. Because the purpose of destruction, when it comes, that thing that causes us to go this way, the purpose, when after it has left you, that temptation, that destruction, by the time it's done with you, there's discouragement. By the time it's done with you, there is hopelessness. By the time it's done with you, there is unbelief. There is weariness of heart. By the time it's done with you, you don't want to continue anymore. you think, what is the point of doing it? What is the point of going? What is the point of praying? What is the point? But I've got an appropriate solution for you this morning. Hallelujah. And the appropriate solution is found in the book of Galatians 6 verse 9. The Bible says, let us not become weary in doing good. Hallelujah. That's the solution. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Hallelujah. Let us not get tired of doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we did not give up. Hallelujah. Some of us are already on the path of destructions and we know it not. Some of us are already walking off track and we know it not. What will help us get back on track is to do what Jesus said we must do. He said we must pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from destruction. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. What is evil? Evil is that thing. Do you know one phone call can change your life for the good or the bad? Do you know one meetup can change your life for the good or for the bad? Hallelujah. Do you know one trip can change your life for the good or for the bad? You are one decision away from making a fool of yourself or being filled with God. And the difference is prayer. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from destruction. What is destruction? That text message that's getting in while you are in the service. And somebody's telling you, did you make sure that you did that? You're missing a word that God had for you in this moment. And you got distracted. How many of you have been in a church and a pastor preaches the word? And then people are clapping and they're celebrating. And you're like, what did he say? Who's been there? What did he say? What did pastor say? Why are people so excited? How many have been there? Where a pastor says something and everybody's celebrating. You're like, oh, wait. But you were there. Maybe you were even sitting front row. But you missed it. You missed it. Hallelujah. The key of staying focused. Being undistracted. We don't have much time this morning. Luke 16 says, the law and the prophets were in until John. Do you have the ERV version? Okay, you don't have the ER version. Okay, I'm going to look at it in the ERV version. Luke 16:16, very quickly. Put your hands together for Jesus. You'll get many versions by God's grace. So I'll be there. Hallelujah. Luke 16:16. Oh, Ramanda Leka Laba Landa Laba Zulema. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold marvelous things in your word. Shepala Mande Reshta Kalama Kileba Roshta. It says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached. Again? And everyone forces his way into it. And this version says, Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing. Everyone is pressing into it. To be able to press, you have to have the discipline to not be easily distracted. Hallelujah. To be able to keep on keeping on, there must be a very high level of discipline. That will help you to not easily get your eyes off the mission. It's easy to lose sight of the mission. Part of the reason we come to church is training. We are being trained, disciplined. Because when we are coming to church, we come to sit and listen. And naturally, human beings don't want to do one thing for a long time. Science and neuroscientists have tested and proven that people's concentration level can only be to a certain degree. But there are people who have trained their concentration level to go above what is known, what is tested and proven. When you come to church, you are training yourself in a new routine.
in a new way of doing things. Hallelujah. Why? So that you can learn to force. There are forces that are forcing you to not reach your mission. There are invisible forces that are set to make sure you don't get to where you are supposed to get. There are invisible pullings. Hallelujah. As you are busy running in the race of life, it's pulling you this way. And sometimes you can be running, you are pulled this way, and you don't know that you are no longer there. Because you are still running. You don't see that you are pulled up, you are off track. Because there are forces pulling you out of purpose. The missions of the forces has to pull you out of purpose. Hallelujah. It is to pull you out of the mission and the purpose of God for your life. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. I was in a church and I saw people pressing to get inside the house of God. I was pressed. My hair was pulled. Me too. We were all pressing. There were multitudes of people waiting outside for the doors to be open. And as soon as those doors were open, we pressed. The venue was big enough to take all of us. But for some reason, we pressed. We still pressed. Because we didn't want to be among those who will sit outside where it's raining and listen from outside. It's comfortable, all right. It's nice, all right. There's screens outside, all right. But everyone was pressing. There were bishops, there were apostles, evangelists, great men of God. But in that moment, everybody forgot who they are. In that moment, everybody forgot, by the way, I'm a great prophet. Never. We were all like little children. Pressing. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can press so much that your back falls off. Sometimes you can press so much that your hair falls off. Hallelujah. Because everyone is pressing to it. Oh, please. You need to press. We need to press. We need to press against that thing that's pulling you out of God's path. We need to press against those distractions. Press against that friend that keeps pulling you out of God's purpose. You need to press against that boyfriend that keeps taking you from the things of God. We need to press against the food that tells you to keep eating and eating. Press against the music that keeps you intoxicated with negative thoughts. Press. Oh, but we need to press. This is Jesus speaking. He says, everyone is pressing. Everyone is pressing into it. Which means that it's not easy. The pastor shared with us about the four gentlemen in a church. The church was full. Jesus was in the picture. Jesus was ministering the word of God. And nobody wanted to make way for them. They had their brother who was in a stretcher. Their friend who was in a stretcher. Clearly, nobody wanted to make way for Jesus, for the four guys and the men in the stretcher. Can I submit to us? Nobody's feeling sorry for you. Nobody cares that you are in a stretcher. They didn't in the book of Mark 2. They didn't. And the four brothers and the men who was in a stretcher could have given up and said, okay, we are going home. Because can't these people have mercy? Don't they see that our man, our brother is paralyzed? We want him to be healed by Jesus. But in that moment, everyone pressed. It means that there wasn't a pathway for people to enter. Because naturally, people are selfish. Even when they are in the presence of Jesus, selfishness is still with them. Naturally, people think only about number one. And right there, while they're looking at Jesus, they're smiling powerfully. They're waving their hands at Jesus. They're saying, preach. Somebody's at the door trying to come in to receive healing. They have their two legs. They have their hands. Some of them won't even lift up their hands and worship him. But they won't make way for somebody who can wave her hands or his hands. No. They want Jesus to see these angelic faces. Meanwhile, somebody out there needs healing. Jesus must see how do you see how angelic? As Jesus is preaching, have you seen when the pastor is preaching, some of our faces, they look very angelic. They look very holy. And we want the pastor to know, I'm receiving this word. Hallelujah. We want the pastor to know, I'm hearing you very well. We look more alert than everyone else. But somebody's outside. Somebody's outside. And when somebody says, hallelujah. When they say, I just want to know. Before the face of Jesus. When they say, please make a way. Make a way for me. I want to pass. Stand here. I want to pass. I want to stand there like that. Face that way. I want to pass. Come on. They are blocking me. Block me. I want to pass. They won't. They are believers, all right? They are Christians, all right? They are with Jesus. They are servants of Jesus. The disciples are also there. The 12, they're also there. But we are consumed by the presence of Jesus that we don't care. Can I please pass? I want to see Jesus. My brother wants to. Hallelujah! Take your seats in the house of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. But you know what they did? When that happened, usually, you go home, isn't it? Some of us, we say, I'm not going to follow Jesus again. I'm not going. I'm not going to church. Those people don't love people. Those people don't care about people. Those people, when I was alone, again, they don't love people. They don't care about people. I'm not going there. What's the point? I mean, I need Jesus more than most of them. I have more reason to be with Jesus more than most of them. But nobody's trying to help me get in. Nobody's making a way for me to get in. The four brothers could have been offended. Jesus could have lost 5 people. The kingdom of God could have lost 5 people. But these people were precious. They were precious. Let's look at it in Mark 2. Just go to Mark 2 and find the scripture for us. Hallelujah. Le mande reshta kapa le masole ele maronda rashte kapa. Mark 2, he says, since they could not get him to Jesus, they could not get their brother to Jesus. Who have you tried to get to Jesus? Who are you trying to get to Jesus? These guys were forcing to bring people to Jesus. They were forcing. And this man needs Jesus. This woman needs Jesus. This young person needs Jesus. They were forcing. But since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. Who climbed the wall? Who found the ladder? They could have just been angry. I leave it. What's the point? These Valazalanas, they are cold. They don't care about us. We're leaving. We'll take my brother somewhere else. We'll find the Sangoma. We'll go to Botswana and pay millions of rents so that he can be healed. But they stayed. They said, as for Jesus, we're going to see him. As for Jesus, he's going to pray for our brother and he will heal him. The Bible says that since they could not get to him, Jesus, to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. They lowered it. Were they not afraid that he's going to fall? Pressures do drastic things. Pressures take drastic measures.
Oppressors don't allow the spirit of discouragement. They don't allow the spirit of giving up. They don't easily give up. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you are pressing, you'll be fired. Sometimes when you are pressing, you'll be told we don't have a job for you. Sometimes when you are pressing, you'll be told you can no longer continue working. You are being retrenched, this and that. Sometimes when you are pressing, you will not receive good news. And sometimes you'll be, those news, there's a demon waiting. It's called the demon of discouragement. It's waiting around the corner. Hallelujah. If you are not a presser, you will easily let that demon enter. You cannot be a presser void of the word of God. You cannot be a presser who does not know the word of God. You can't be. All of it becomes motivational speaking. When the word of God is lifted up, the voices of the evil one become silent. When the word of God is lifted up in your spirit, the voice of the enemy is silent. Now, when challenges come, when tribulations come, what do you have? What do you have? What's inside of you? Hallelujah. Let's go back to our message. Hallelujah. So, every overcomer is a presser. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Today's message, we are learning about three ways to press. Say with me, three ways to press. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. The first way you can press is you can press by prayer. You can press through prayer. The second way to press is you can press through the light. And the third way to press is that you can press through positive attitude. Hallelujah. You can press by prayer. You can press by the light. And you can press through positive attitude. Hallelujah. How do I press in prayer? What does the word of God say in Isaiah 40 verse 29 to 31? He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Those who wait. Prayer is waiting on God. Prayer is sitting and waiting on God. It may look like a useless thing to do. It may look like there's more things you could be doing with your time. And that's what the devil does. He makes you convinced that there could be, you could be going on the streets looking for a job. You could be doing this. You could be knocking. He wants to cheat you of your time of prayer. Because he knows that the more you spend time in prayer, the more your strength gets renewed. The more you'll be able to mount up with wings as eagle. The more you'll be able to run and not be weary. So instead of allowing us to set aside that time to be with God in prayer, he gets us busy. John spent time with God. We read that he used to, in the book I read, when God walked the earth, and it talks about angels, how they visited him. One of the part Rick Joyner writes is that John would, after he had baptized Jesus Christ, and the angels in the heavens were open, and a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." The disciples of John, Andrew was one of the disciples of John, by the way. And they loved him. They began to be drawn to Jesus. Andrew and James, they were two of the disciples of John. And they loved Jesus. And they were caught up between, do we follow Jesus? Do we follow John? And John already knew that they have to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. They already knew that you have to follow him. And so, while others were confused, who's that guy? Why did we hear that voice? We all had that voice. Why did we hear? Could it be John? John had been away to pray, to be with God. After he prayed, John was with the angel that accompanies him. He was with God praying. And he was, what is he praying for? My mission is done. I'm the voice in the wilderness, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So my time is done. Here he is. Here he is. I must decrease and he must increase. Hallelujah. And when the two angels that were accompanying Andrew, because they were God's elect. You see, you don't know that you are God's elect. You don't know that you have been elected. You have earmarked for his purpose. You don't know.
You don't know that your children, one of them is God's elect. One of them is the John. Hallelujah. Yes. One of them is the John. John was moving in the anointing of Elijah. Could you be moving? Could one of you be carrying the anointing of John? You don't know. You don't know. And there was exchanges. Exchanges of angels right there. You must read that book. It'll bless your life. Oh, it'll bless your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, when God walked the earth. It's called When God Walked the Earth. Hallelujah. And they exchanged roles. Then one had to go. I get it. One had to go somewhere else. And they said, oh, but can we stay a little longer? Others said, please negotiate with the master. Negotiate with God. That we shouldn't go here. Because other angels are posted to other galaxies. Other angels are watching over Mercury and other planets. They're busy there. But all of them look on planet Earth with much envy. All of them are in shock that these little arrogant human beings, God will give up his splendor and come and give himself up for them. They're in awe. They're in awe. They're like, what? They envy being your guards, being your charge, being given charge over you and I. Hallelujah. I digress a bit, but it was necessary. So when you pray, John prayed, Jesus prayed. The Bible says he would separate himself from some time and be with God. From time to time, he will sneak away. He prayed all night. Jesus prayed all night. Some of us, we are watching TikTok all night. Some of us, we are watching YouTube all night. Some of us, we are watching movies all night. But Jesus prayed all night. Say, Lord, make me like you. Let me be like you. Like Jesus. Like Jesus. That's the prayer. To have the mind of Jesus. Hallelujah. To follow the model of Jesus Christ. To wait on him. What is waiting? Sitting. Quietly. Hallelujah. Undistracted. With nothing. With no business. Sitting. Reading his word. Waiting with expectation. Conversing with him. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Show me the way I should go. What is waiting? It's not saying 100,000 words of your list of things you want from him. Waiting is, I want to be like you. Make me like you. I want to desire you. I want my heart to beat after your heart. What is waiting? Show me where I'm going wrong. Show me things about my character. I was reading this morning Psalms 119, and he says something so powerful that I want to read it. Can I read it? And I was reading this while I was praying. Hallelujah. While I was praying, Psalm 119. Let's look at it from verse 1. Which takes us to the second point of you can press through revelation. The Bible says in the book of Galatians 2:2, and went up by revelation, and went up by revelation, and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who have been of reputation, lest any means I might run or had run in vain. Hallelujah. Because those who have big reputations, they don't want to be seen knowing God, doing things of God. Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. It's a beautiful scripture. We don't have enough time to just dive deep into the scripture. Hallelujah. It's fine. But go and read it. Read that scripture. See the evidence of the light, the presence of the light in your life. That's Isaiah 60 verse 1. Number two. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Two. For darkness shall cover the earth. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Verse 3, very quickly. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Nations will come to your light. Lift up your eyes and look around you. You can't lift up your eyes if the light has not come. Lifting up your eyes is what? Vision.
The word of God brings vision. The entrance of thy word brings light. That's what the Bible says in the book of Psalm 119 verse 130. Right? It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So without the word of God, without the word, there can never be light. There can never be vision. There can never be faith. Vision is faith. What is vision? What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Hallelujah. How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing the word of God. So unless I spend time in the word, there can never be faith. There can never be vision. There can never be sight. Again, lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the arm. Verse 5. He says, then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the sea will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. You see what the word comes, what the word does, what the entrance of his word does in a person's life. It brings light. All of these things comes. Why? Because thy light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So there can never be light unless or without the word. There cannot be light. As long as I am not a man and a woman of the word, I'm in deep darkness. As long as I don't read the word, I walk in darkness. I wanted to show us Psalm 119 from verse 1. This was my prayer. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to your statutes. Oh, that my ways. What are my ways? Mekhwa. Mekhwa ya me. Hankebe mekhwa ya me. E supetswa ko lefoko la gago. A mekhwa ya me e supetswe lefoko la gago. Mekhwa. What is mekhwa? The things I do, my character, my habits, the things I am drawn to. Because some of us, we have wayward ways. Renale me kwa ema swe. Hallelujah. Mokwa wa rona ga se mokwa wa Kreste. Re tletse mokwa osa siama. Rena le mekhwa e maswe. And he says, where was I? Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to your statutes. Oh, that my ways. Why is he saying that? Because I tend to go some way. I'm some way. I follow wrong ways. I follow bad patterns. I have wrong habits. Hallelujah. I have this way of being offended. I have this way of missing God. I have this way of being rebellious. I have this way of harboring anger in my heart. I have this way of talking nonsense. I have this way of being negative. I have this way of complaining. There's some way in me. There are some ways in me. And he's praying, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. If only my ways were directed. Direct my ways. Direct my way in a way that will keep your statutes. Because the way that's inside is not your way. The way that is inside of me is the way of corruption. My ways are ways of corruption. My ways are ways of rebellion against your precepts. All that my ways. I don't like my ways. I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't like my ways. I don't like the way I'm going. Parents will say to their children, I don't like the way you are going. I don't like the path you've chosen. I don't like the path I see myself working. All that are my ways. All that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. All that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. I have my ways direct me to keep all things, many things, but your word. My ways direct me to keep WhatsApp statuses. My ways direct me to keep Facebook. My ways direct me to keep Instagram. My ways direct me to keep everything else, to keep friends.
What are your ways directing you to keep? Because what you are keeping right now is a result of your ways. And your ways were directed. What you are keeping right now, the company you are keeping right now, the places you go to right now, the time you are spending are all directed. What you are keeping is based on what, where you are directed. All that my ways were directed to keep your precepts, your statutes. Hallelujah. I don't like my ways. I was praying and I said, Lord, I don't like my ways. I don't like the way I'm going. I don't like where my ways are being directed. Let's look at number 5 of the same scripture. The entrance of thy word brings light. Remember that in 130. But let's look at number 6. Also here, 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word, not my degree, your word. Not my intelligence, your word. Not my hard work. What clears the path before me is your word. Not my connections, not my influence, not the relationships, not the people I know. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Not the people my mother has introduced me to, not the president, your word. His word is a lamp unto our feet. His word is what clears the path. His word is what makes a way. His word. Look at number 6 of the same scripture. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. Because when I look into your commandments, I'm ashamed. Why? Because I see that according to your commandment, this is where I should be. But when I look, my ways have directed me away from your commandment. When I look into your commandment, I shouldn't be lying. When I look into your commandment, I shouldn't be pretending. But hey, I pretend. I see people and I give them fake smiles. Oh, that my way will be directed to your statutes. When I look into your commandment, I'm ashamed. Because I have hypocritical ways. What you see and the way I behave is not who I really am. When I look at my ways, I don't like people. When I look at my ways, I don't like to spend time with people. When I look at my ways, I love myself. I'm self-centered. When I look at my ways, I love glory. When I look at myself, I love praises of man. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. I don't like the way my ways are. All that my ways may be. Because when I look, I'm ashamed. When I look at your commandment, I'm ashamed. Because I don't have love from a pure heart. The purpose of the commandment, find the scripture. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. My heart is impure. My heart has agendas. I have agendas with people. I have agendas with my job. I have agendas. I have motives. There are hidden motives. The motives is not Jesus. The agenda is not the kingdom of God. I have my own personal agendas. I have scores to settle. I don't like my ways. I don't like my ways. I don't like my ways. I don't like the way I'm going. All that my ways were directed to keep your precepts. All that my ways. Number 7, he says, it's a beautiful scripture. Lamanderesh takapala. Elemala. Okay, I'll read it from my Bible. Hallelujah. He says, I will praise you with an uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgment, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Because the more I spend time with you, with God, in his word, the more I realize I can be forsaken. If I'm not careful here, I'll be forsaken. Because I'm not walking according to his precepts. I'm not keeping the commandment. I'm not keeping the ways of God. Oh, do not forsake me. Do not forsake me. Do not forsake me utterly. Don't give up on me, oh God. The more I spend time in the word, the more I realize I'm in danger. I'm in danger. I'm in danger. He says, do not forsake me utterly. Don't forsake me utterly. I know I don't look like you. I know I'm not, there's not, right now, I'm not your reflection. But please don't, wait. Wait, Lord, work on me. How can a young man clean his ways? By taking heed according to your word. How can a young man clean his ways? By prayer? By fasting? By taking heed. By taking heed. I can imagine young men cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word. He says, with my whole heart I have sought you. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. Let me not wander from your commandment. How will you know the commandment if you're not spending time in the word? How will you know what the commandment is if you are not in the word? If you're not spending time in the word, you have already wandered from his commandment. If you don't have time for the word of God, you've already wandered off. If you don't spend time in his word. I want to read again. 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a lamp. So as long as the lamp is off, I'm off track. How is the lamp on? This is when the lamp is on. This is when the lamp is on. This is a prayer of the psalm of David and the other psalmist. Hallelujah. This is their prayer. This is where you turn on the lights. This is what turns on the lights in our lives. This is what turns on the light. The light of confusion. The light of doubt. The light of fear. The light of depression. Why am I struggling with anxiety? Why am I struggling with depression? Why am I struggling with fear? Because the light is off. What is depression? Darkness. Hopelessness. Helplessness. What is depression? Gloom and doom. Why do I find myself constantly in a state of doom and gloom? Because the light is off. When I open the Bible, there's light. This is light. Oh, Father, help me become an addict of your word. Raise up your voice and say, Father, help me become an addict of your word. What does he say? He says, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimony. Oh, before we get there, he says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Three ways to press his word. If you don't have the word hidden in your heart, you will sin against him for free. If his word is not hidden in our hearts, we will sin against him for free. No one will even have to pay us. We will do it voluntarily. What preserves us from sinning against him is what? His word hidden in our heart. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does he say? He says, your word, he says what? Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgment of your mouth. I rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all the riches. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. It's a second way to press. We press by prayer. We wait on the Lord. Another way to press is by the word, by light. This word brings light by revelation. Hallelujah. He says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Because he's a God who hides himself. But he says, do not hide your commandments from me. Hallelujah. He says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. He says, you rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me the reproach of contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. I'm forcing the word in. Hallelujah. Yeah, put your hands together for Jesus. Touch your ear and say, incline my ear. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. What is covetousness? Lust. I want people to like me. I want to have that nice car. I want to do that. I want to do, no, please, to your precepts. Incline my heart to your precepts. I love myself. That's covetousness. I love to be happy. I love to be seen to be happy. It's me. Your word is what unplugs me, what disconnects me from self-love. Self-love is the gospel. I mean, self-love is what is preached out there. But God love is the gospel. I want to share with you one last one. Do you want another one? It's the last verse. I saw it in Merlin had it somewhere.
But he says, this is the last verse. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandment. I've gone astray. Some of us, we think that we are still standing. But he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I'm lost. I'm in the house of God, but I'm lost. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Hallelujah. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I've gone astray like a... Seek your servant. Are you a servant of God? Seek your servant. Lord, seek your servant. You are here today because God is seeking his servant. The last way that we're gonna press is, like we said, positive attitude. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Do not mumble, do not grumble. Hallelujah. Psalm 126:5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Isaiah 12 verse 3 says, with joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. Habakkuk 3 verse 17 to 18. This is our last verse for today. He says, though the fig tree, this is an encouragement to somebody. Can you all stand up on your feet? The word is coming in. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's all stand in the house of God. This verse pulled me out of pits. Look, they will give you pills, ne? And those pills are gonna zombie you out. I get it, you are depressed. I get it, you've got anxiety. I get it, you've got all these things. You'll just want to eat and not feel. The solution to your depression, your mental instability, is the word of God. This word pulled me out of the pit. This word pulled me out of the pit. I was depressed. Do you think we don't go through depression? I was depressed, heavily depressed. And I didn't get depressed once or twice. I got depressed. I fight depression a lot of times. I fight it a lot of times. Thoughts of defeat, I fight them a lot of times. Thoughts of hopelessness, I fight them a lot of times. Where it looks like there's no way out. Hallelujah. I was so depressed at one point, I looked at my shower and I was wondering where we could hang what way. I went into my bathroom and I looked at my shower. I was like, where can we hang something? Something can hang here. I realized the devil is here. He's just here. But it's pulled me out. Verses like this. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes. There are no grapes. I've been planting. There are no grapes. I've been sowing. I've been working hard. There are no grapes. I've been toiling and laboring and pushing. There are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails, there's no oil. It's hard. It's squeaky. It's, you know, when a dough is not oiled, it makes a lot of noise. When a bicycle has no oil, it makes a lot of noise. Because the steel is brushing against itself. It's rough out here. Hallelujah. It's rough. It hurts. There's no oil. And he says, the field produces no food. I've been to the field, there's no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall. This pen used to be filled with sheep. And there used to be kettles in the stall. But they are gone. My kettles are gone. My sheep are gone. Where are they? He says, though all this happen. Though I'm challenged like I'm challenged. Though I face what I'm facing. Though I'm warring as I'm warring. Though I have to fight as I'm fighting. Verse 18. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my Savior. I will be joyful. He's not suggesting. He's not saying maybe. He says, I have commanded myself. I have instructed myself. I slap my head and say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord.
I will rejoice in the Lord. Snap out of it. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, I can sit here and count all the things that are not going right. I can sit here and begin to narrate how I was brought up in pain, how my mother left me, how my father left me, how I was raped, how I was abused. I can sit here and narrate and talk about how sorrowful my life is and how I don't have money for taxi and how I don't have food. And I can. But I choose not to. Even if I'm dry, even if the hair is not oiled, even if I don't have makeup on my face, even if I have no shoes on my feet, it says even if I'm naked, even if I wear the same thing over and over and over and over again, even if I can't lift my hands freely because my armpits smell, because I don't have a roll on. Yeah, he says, even if, though, he says, listen, no matter what, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will be joyful in the God of my Savior. Hallelujah. I'll be joyful. I'll be joyful. Because you have a choice, you see. We have a choice to sit and mope about how bad it is. We can narrate it and talk about the injustices. There's a lot of injustices in the world. There's a lot of pain in the world. This world is fallen. It's corrupt. There's a lot of terrible things, and they're not about to get any better. You have to change. People are not about to be nicer. Human beings are not going to be nicer. Hallelujah. I always like to remind us of 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1. I always like to remind us of that verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'd like to remind us of that verse. The sound people are a bit slow today. There we go. Says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Because we are living in the last days. And in the last days, perilous times will come. And verse 2 says what? For men will be lovers of who? Self-love. Nobody cares about you and how you went through a rough time. And how, I'm telling you, in church, people were with Jesus. And somebody needed to see Jesus and be healed by him. They didn't let him in. They didn't make a pay. Somebody had to go open the roof. They knocked the roof. So you're going to have to knock some roofs. You're going to have to knock some roof up. Hallelujah. He says they're lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3. Says unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. When you do good, Number 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Number 5. Having a form of godliness but deny its power, and from such people turn away. Turn to the word. Turn away from such people. Sometimes such people are not just around us, they are here. Sometimes it's not the guy next door. I know we're all thinking about other people. I get it, because we are self-righteous. Yeah, I must stay away from that brother. This word is helping me. No, it's you. Stay away from you. Stay away from you. How? Run here. Run to the word. Hallelujah. Because you are a self hazard. A danger to yourself. It's not, nobody's bewitching you, please. It's not your colleague. It's not your boss. It's not your classmate. The enemy is you. Hallelujah. Yes. It's you. What helps us? The word. Yeah. As we proceed, it's the word that helps us. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You are in this place today. You are not born again. You are in danger. If you are not born again, you are in danger of missing heaven.
the trumpet will sound. And unfortunately, you'll be left behind. Unfortunately, you will not be caught up with Jesus. God has brought you to church this morning because He loves you. He elected you. Not because you were big in numbers. Not because you were the most intelligent or most beautiful. But because He has set His affections on you. Not that you qualified for it. Not that you deserved it. No. Because you are His choice. His decision. That's why you are here. That's why you came to church today. You might not have been a choice of many people. You might have not been an option for many people. But you are the choice of Jesus Christ. You are the choice of the Father. You might not be too smart around other people. You might not look like you got it together. But He still chose you. So won't you respond to His love by saying yes to Jesus today? By saying yes to the Father today? At the count of three, you can lift up your hand. And we're going to pray with you. If you're saying, I want Jesus, it's yes from me. I say yes to your election of me, Jesus. I say yes to your choosing of me. I say yes to your calling of me. At the count of three, if you want to say yes to this great proposal of Jesus Christ, if you want to say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Yes, Jesus, I will live for you. Yes, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. At the count of three, lift up your hand high and we're going to pray with you. One, two, three. Raise up your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. He sees your hands. He sees hands going up all over the place. Somebody's making a decision for Jesus today. You can put your hand down. Maybe you are here. You are born again. But you haven't really been living for Jesus Christ. You haven't been serving Him. You are caught up with earthly things, earthly pursuit. And you're saying, Jesus, I want first things first. I want to love you. I want to love your word, to love your commandment, to keep them. I want to love others. I don't want to love my life more than I love you. I don't want to love myself more than I love you. Right now, I know that I'm the most self-centered person, born again, but I'm selfish. Born again, but I'm self-centered. But today, I need you to help me to love you, to put you first. At the count of three, you can lift up your hand also, and we'll pray together. One, two, three. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Hands are going up all over the building. Yes, God sees you. He sees your hands. Hallelujah. If you've lifted up your hand for any of these altar call, please take a bold step and come and join us here. Come and join us here so we can pray with you. Come. Your club can be better for Jesus. Your club can be better for Jesus. Your club can be better for Jesus. There's a heavenly clapping going on in heaven right now. There's a heavenly clap. Join in with the angels. They're here. They're clapping with us. Clap, clap, clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that as you are clapping for them, that you will not be standing at the gates of heaven one day and you see angels clapping for them as they enter. And because you couldn't come and join them, you rather chose to stand and clap for them. You see yourself being ushered by demons to hell. I pray that you will not be a part of those people. Right now, if you know that you should be here, you don't want to be standing at the gates of heaven and we're looking for your name. Books are open because books are going to be opened. And if your name is not found in the book, unfortunately, demons are going to usher you to hell. Make a decision today. Make a decision right now. Take a bold step from wherever you were. If you're saying, I want my name to be found in that great book in heaven, take a bold step and come and join them right here. Clap for them, church. Clap for them. Clap for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yours and my greatest fear. Clap, clap, clap. Clap. Hallelujah. Your greatest fear and my greatest fear must be to not miss heaven. I know you fear powerful people. That means nothing. Do not fear those that can destroy the body but can't take the soul. Fear God. Fear the one who can destroy both, the body and the soul. Hallelujah. Fear that one. Please lift up your hands to Jesus. I believe this one decision, this one prayer you are praying is getting your name registered in heaven. Repeat after me from the depths of your heart. Your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If he should come right now, I believe he's going to rapture you. I believe you'll be caught up with Jesus. Say after me, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to say thank you for these ones. I believe, Lord, I believe that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that one day they'll stand before you and hear you say to them, well done, good and faithful servant. I pray, keep them in your love, Lord. Do not let them go. Keep him in your love. Don't let him go. Be the stronghold of his life. Do not let him go. Be the stronghold of her life, Lord. Keep her. Keep her. Jesus, keep her in your love. Keep her. Keep him in your love. Keep him in your love. Cause him to walk in the love of God. Cause him to walk in your love. Keep him in your love, Jesus. Hold him. Be a firm grip of his life. Do not let him go, Jesus. Do not let them go, Jesus. Do not let him go, Jesus. Do not let her go, Jesus. Do not let her go, Jesus. Do not let her go, Jesus. Don't let her go, Jesus. Don't let her go. Don't let her go. Don't let her go. Don't leave her. Don't leave him. Don't leave him, Jesus. Don't leave him. Don't leave him. Help him. Don't leave him. Help him, Jesus. Don't leave him. Help him. Don't leave him. Don't forsake her. Don't forsake her. Don't forsake her, Jesus. Don't forsake her. Don't forsake her. Help her, Jesus. Help her. Help her. Hold her firmly. Help him. Help him, Jesus. Help him bring honor to your name. Help her please you. Help her please you. Help her walk worthy of your calling. Help her. Help her walk worthy of your calling. Help her, Jesus. Help her, Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.